Please stay with us. The Cradle website writes, U.S. occupation forces on 25th of September smuggled 79 tankers loaded with Syrian oil from the fields of Jazeera region to Iraq. U.S. forces, which have taken control of essential oil and gas fields in Hasaka and Deir ez-Zor governorates in Syria with the help of Syrian Democratic Forces or SDF, regularly smuggle fuel and grain out of the country. The looted oil was moved through the illegal Al-Mahmoudiya border crossing into neighbouring Iraq, where U.S. occupation forces are also stationed. Damascus considers the oil theft campaign part of a larger violation by U.S. of international law, as the plundering of the nation's natural resources worsens an already dire hunger crisis in Syria. In the meantime, the economy in the war-torn country is in a state of disaster, as the bloody conflict has destroyed decades of progress, leaving what once was the Arab world's most industrialized nation with severe shortages of food and energy. In collaboration with so-called Syrian Democratic Forces or SDF, the US Army is taking advantage of the devastation in the country to steal its resources, while at the same time imposing strict sanctions that prevent Damascus from securing much-needed resources from abroad. According to the Syrian Ministry of Oil and Mineral Resources, the U.S. has looted an average of 66,000 barrels of oil every day in the first half of 2022, or over 83% of the country's daily output. In contrast, domestic oil refineries receive nearly 14,200 barrels a day. Syria's official Sana'a news agency, citing local sources in Al-Yarubiya town, reported that a convoy of 60 tankers left Syria through the illegal Mahmoudiya border crossing on Tuesday, 21st of September, and headed towards Iraqi territories. The development comes nearly a fortnight after the United States smuggled a batch of stolen Syrian oil into neighboring Iraq. Syria's Sana'a news agency cited local sources from Yarubiya town as saying on 9th of September, a convoy of U.S. occupation forces consisting of 88 tankers loaded with stolen Syrian oil left from the illegitimate Mahmoudiya crossing and entered Iraqi territory. The U.S. military has stationed forces and equipment in northeastern Syria, with the Pentagon claiming the deployment is aimed at preventing the oil fields in the area from falling into the hands of Daesh terrorists. However, Damascus maintains the deployment is meant to plunder the country's rich mineral resources, including oil. Former U.S. President Donald Trump admitted on more than one occasion that U.S. military forces were in Syria mainly for its oil. Syrian officials say Washington's continued presence in the country is aimed at preventing Damascus from regaining control over oil, natural gas, and food resources in the northeastern regions of the country, which once allowed Syria to enjoy modest self-sufficiency in energy and in foodstuffs. Washington and its allies have also imposed crushing sanctions on Damascus and threatened nations that do business with Damascus with secondary sanctions. These sanctions have further limited Syria's access to resources needed to rebuild the country from the devastating foreign-backed conflict which began in 2011 and have prevented the country from importing medicines and much-needed medical equipment. The anti-war website covers the same story but from a different angle. On Monday, 26th of September, Syria's foreign minister addressed the UN General Assembly in New York and called on US to end its military occupation of eastern Syria. The US currently has about 900 troops stationed in eastern Syria and backs Kurdish forces in the region. This illegal presence allows the US to control about one-third of Syria's territory, an area where most of the country's oil and wheat resources are located. Officially, the US maintains that its presence in the country is about fighting Daesh terrorists, but the Syrian government rejects this notion. Syrian Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad said at a UN headquarters in New York, he said, "Fighting terrorism does not happen through an illegitimate international coalition that violates Syria's sovereignty and destroys towns and villages in Syria." On top of the occupation, the US also maintains crippling economic sanctions on Syria. US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has previously said that these sanctions are meant to prevent Syria's reconstruction until there is a political settlement in Syria, meaning regime change in Damascus. The Syrian Foreign Minister, Faisal Miqdad, discussed the sanctions on Syria, saying the country has been economically besieged by Western powers. He said, "The war against Syria ultimately was an attempt by the West to maintain control over the world. The situation in eastern Syria highlights the hypocrisy of the United States, as President Biden's address to the UN General Assembly focused on accusing Russia of violating the United Nations Charter by taking Ukrainian territory." The top Syrian diplomat, Faisal Miqdad, also said, "Countering terrorism does not mean occupying other people's land, establishing a safe zone, or backing terrorists." Referring to the regime's multiple assaults so far against international airports in the Syrian capital and the western Syrian city of Aleppo, Faisal Miqdad said, "Damascus maintains that the occupying regime backs Daesh terrorists as well as al-Nusra Front terrorists, which is al-Qaeda's offshoot in Syria, and carries out attacks against civilian airports in Syria." Elsewhere in his remarks, the Syrian foreign minister said, "Foreign presence and violations that have been carried out by Washington and its allies against Syria have caused the country to incur material damage running to $107 billion.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech on iRib English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. Stay tuned.
پیامبر خدا فرمودن المغبون
Prophet Muhammad in a very short but beautiful hadith stated a person who is trapped by the deceptions of others is neither rewarded nor admired by Allah. In better words, we are not allowed to be patient about the wrong deeds of ourselves or of fellow brothers and sisters and then ask Allah to solve the problems of the Muslim Ummah. Everything starts from within. So we as Muslims must ask for our lawful rights and not be oppressed by others.
پس بنابراین اگر ما واژه صبر رو میگیم صبر و بردباری نه به این معنا که تحمل
Therefore, Sabr or patience does not mean to bear the oppression or deception of others. We as Muslims must be careful about our deeds, and if we are being oppressed, we must ask for our own rights and answer the oppression with the best answer possible. As we read in the famous Persian poem, neither oppress anyone nor be oppressed. This is what Al-Husayn taught through his movement. This is our religious criterion. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
The eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Finally, Iran accedes to the Shanghai Cooperation Council, SCO, as full member. It's part profit and part potential, as this Eurasian alliance that was forged in 2001 is still establishing new memberships and laying out the infrastructure to obtain its goals. Our question is, what will be Iran's role in the SCO's achieving its goals, and what will permanent membership do for Iran? Well, the Transcontinental Political Security and Economic Alliance does comprise over 40% of the world's population and just under 30% of its GDP, gross domestic product. And Iran, a major supplier of fossil fuels, is placed strategically on the North-South Corridor and the East-West Corridor. Welcome to Iran Today with me, Leila Faramarzi. Now, Iran had applied for full membership 15 years ago, so why the upgrade from observer status now? The JCPOA and Iran seemingly prioritizing the West in its foreign policy decisions seems to have been a problem, although the two greatest powers on the SCO, that's Russia and China, are also party to the JCPOA. Anyhow, now with the JCPOA or nuclear deal struggling to survive and Iran looking to the East and neighborly relations for leverage and balance, it has qualified as a suitable candidate for SCO permanent membership. Also, Russia and China are at odds with America now. The Russia-Ukraine war is a rift between Russia and the West in total. And China is also sanctioned by the U.S., the U.S., which interferes in overseas regions, creating turmoil. So now the East is closing ranks in securing its own interests. We got to have a chat with the Foreign Ministry spokesman, Mr. Kanani, busy as he is with the many alliances Iran has been forging or amending. That was at the ministry's exquisite conference hall with mirror and plasterwork.
We should not forget that at any rate we are witnessing regional alliances that are faced against globalist policies. Fortunately, this organization can challenge the unilateral policies of the United States. Member states are generally aligned with the same policies, including China and Russia. In this policy, we see similarities between the Islamic Republic of Iran and significant members of the organization, including China. Therefore, membership in the SCO can be a mutual bilateral opportunity both for the Islamic Republic and the SCO as an international organization observing regional politics.
Not to forget, Iran's permanent membership, which was confirmed at the 22nd SCO summit in Uzbekistan, is to be finalized in April of 2023. Now, the SCO doesn't want trouble, and while Iran's membership can neutralize the adverse effects of sanctions partially, I wondered whether sanctions prevailing might reverse Iran's status in the club by that time. For the time being, full membership will give this country some leverage and clout in ongoing Vienna talks for a more favorable JCPOA in the re-signing. Mr. Vafoy is a university professor, informed, meticulous and accurate in studying and teaching, all to do with Iran-Asia relations.
The imposition of sanctions does not hinder the organization's progress at all. In fact, it can neutralize some of its adverse effects. The reason is multilateralism, which is the motto of the organization, and the capabilities of its member states. When countries like India, Saudi Arabia, Turkey and Pakistan are showing interest in joining the organization, it shows that the organization holds the potential to establish anti-sanctions measures.
The alliance has an interesting composition. It was formed 21 years ago by Russia, China, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan and Uzbekistan at a summit held in Shanghai. All our regional member states are WTO, World Trade Organization members, except for Uzbekistan. The SCO has four nuclear powers for member, and two greatest fossil fuel powers, Russia and Iran, and two great energy consumers, India and China, to buy from them. Now that they are all equal SCO partners, they can equally establish cooperation for energy transactions. The organization is a suitable bed for multilateral as well as bilateral transactions and cooperation, because primarily it's not a trade organization, but energy security is of paramount importance for these countries, which are major providers or producers of energy. And this is where Iran's importance is highlighted for energy and security.
The SCO is a very large international collective that creates mutual opportunities for the Islamic Republic and the member states. Well, the collective of the SCO member states add up to more than 25% of the gross domestic production of the entire world. Roughly 40% of the population belong to the SCO member states. Therefore, the Shanghai Cooperation Organization is a substantial economic opportunity and is a vast market. In the framework of the SCO membership, there will naturally be ample opportunities for its member states, including the IRI, especially in the context of regionalist and eastward policies of the Islamic Republic. The SCO is a very good opportunity to employ SCO capacities in line with its own interests and benefit, despite Iran-West relations.
Trade can be furthered and secured, with transit and energy security heightened as a consequence of this alliance that creates multilateralism in the world, hence breaking a U.S. hegemony and unilateralism. Even the issue of security is not dryly about guarding oil wells at gunpoint. SCO meetings have heard a range of issues discussed. The issue of food security, for one, has been emphasized. President Raisi himself emphasized issues such as health and the use of Iran's capabilities in that field, including the export of medical equipment and biotechnological drugs, as well as providing health tourism services to SCO member states by this country. Given the main goal of the SCO is security, how do you see Iran's membership helping regional security?
Security is one of the chief concerns of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Unfortunately, our region is generally home to many tensions and challenges. We witness new crises rise and old ones rekindled. The Islamic Republic has shown that it holds effective and serious potential in helping solve regional conflicts and strengthening political proceedings to deal with regional challenges.
Talking of trade, there are subordinate organizations to the SCO which might help boost member states' economy, such as the Business Council, Interbanking Association, or Energy Club. The SCO Business Council, founded in 2006, is a non-governmental body which brings together the most influential members of the business communities of member countries. It aims to boost economic cooperation in the framework of the organization. It gives expert assessments on the involvement of members of business communities of the SCO member states in trade, economic and investment interaction, again in the framework of the organization.
For example, Central Asian countries and China have defined well-established economic relations, but these relations require infrastructure. The member states will be willing to work in the framework I mentioned, both bilateral and multilateral. But if we have an issue with an SCO member, for example, and we expect multilateral relations to work, we'll hit a dead end.
In 2005, SCO heads of the Government Council decided to establish the SCO Interbank Consortium, what would translate as Interbanking Association in Persian. That was mainly to set up a mechanism of funding and banking services for investment projects supported by the governments of the SCO member states. Now, specifically for energy cooperation between members, the SCO Energy Club was founded in 2013. And since, apart from multilateral arrangements, members have also engaged in bilateral agreements in the energy sector. China and Russia have been building a natural gas pipeline since 2015, a pipeline under 3,400 kilometers long. That's the largest energy cooperation between the two countries. CGTN, Chinese television, put it in good terms. The SCO has been an incubator for regional synergy in the field of energy. Mr. Sonny is an enterprising youth who shared his experience and insight with us. He is deputy chair of the Iran-Uzbekistan Joint Chamber of Commerce, with a healthy interest in introducing Uzbek opportunities.
According to the structure in the SCO, below the heads of states and ministers of foreign affairs, the secretariat is performing the activities. The secretariat is formed of permanent entities such as a consortium monitoring banking and financial transactions. This consortium is made up of a few banks that are from the SCO member states. One of the new plans of the consortium that they insist on realizing by 2026 is using the national currencies of the SCO member states and not relying on common currencies such as the dollar.
Some SCO projects being implemented are related to free trade zones and the Green Belt. Iran has several important ports and free trade zones, including the Chabahar port on the Oman Sea, which can connect Caspian states to the open warm waters of the south, among numerous other uses it has. Time for a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
More coming up, but first a quick diversion to see what other media outlets have to say. Here's how it looks on the page. Tasnim News points to SCOs taking notice of Iran's importance. SCO chief highlights Iran's role in international security, it reads. In a meeting with Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi held in Uzbekistan, Samarkand, SCO Secretary General Zhang Ming hailed Iran as a great and influential country that can play a significant role in regional and international security. Known as a major country in the region, Iran also holds close political and trade relations with the SCO members by relying on its broad historical and civilizational commonalities with the regional countries, Zhang Ming added, pointing to the arrangements made by the SCO Secretariat for Iran's membership in the SCO. The Chinese diplomat said he and Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian have signed the Memorandum of Commitments allowing Iran to join the organization. France 24 quotes how Saudi Arabia is finally reciprocating Iran's look to strengthening relations with neighbors. We intend to build a positive relationship with our neighbors in Iran, Saudi FM says. In an interview with France 24 on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly in New York, Saudi Arabia's foreign minister said that his country had concerns about a possible revived nuclear deal between Western powers and Iran, especially over IAEA inspections. However, Prince Faisal bin Farhan al-Saud said that even a flawed deal was better than no deal. He said there were still differences with Iran that currently precluded him meeting with his Iranian counterpart, but said we certainly have the intent to build a positive relationship with our neighbors in Iran. Orphan line sounds bluntly realistic. Iran's SCO accession, a timely yet insufficient gambit. The changing world order has opened the doors of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization to Iran, but whether it will prove useful to the country is yet to be seen. Although the rising anti-Western narratives amongst the key SCO members manifest themselves differently in policy terms, Tehran's long-standing revisionism is set to drive Iran, Russia, and China relatively closer together in geopolitical and strategic matters. Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei supports Raisi's Eastern policy, saying, "One of our priorities today in foreign policy is preferring the East to the West, neighbors to remote countries." As a part of its pivot to East policy, Iran seeks to play an active role in the shifting global order, thanks to its geostrategic position in the new geopolitical environment. And that'll be it for the news section. Do stay tuned. With its maximum pressure sanctions on Iran, Trump's USA had tried to bring this country's oil exports down to zero. Although sanctions did make a good dent in our oil revenues, that wicked plan didn't quite pull off. China and India have their more urgent needs than the necessity of appeasing the US with its secondary sanctions. And China, a dangerous rival to US trade, has suffered and had to find a way around US sanctions anyway. Now, with Iran's SCO accession, things can only get better, optimism aside.
There are three requirements before we can reach our economy, cultural, tourism, environment, investment, and banking potentials of this alliance. The first requirement is the assessment and introduction of laws that are needed to join the SCO by Iran, which will definitely be time-consuming. The second requirement is creating technical and logistic infrastructure to be able to use the potentials of the SCO in the competitive market that will be created for Iranian firms. Joining this organization is certainly a great exercise for the future of Iran, so that it can join the World Trade Organization. The third requirement for Iran in order to invite and host the companies and investors from SCO members is solving our issues of sanctions to be present in the main tier of the organization.
Some points top of the agenda to facilitate dealings without a shadow of the US with its dollar and control over banks is the removal of the US dollar and the euro. Iran even offered to the other sides the use of insurance and new financial channels that its central bank has in mind. Alireza Peymanpak, head of TPOI, confirmed this, TPOI being the trade promotion organization of Iran. He also said, in the field of customs, similar to the agreement signed between the three countries of Iran, Azerbaijan, and Russia a few months ago, negotiations have also been conducted with other countries. All these measures will lead to the development of trade and the creation of stable income for the Islamic Republic.
Every year, first the heads of states and then the ministers of foreign affairs of SCO member states should be able to come up with creative measures regarding economy, cultural, transportation, and logistics matters. They should be able to use these creative measures and international agreements with various other organizations to increase the economic development under sustainable economic policies and take a viable step for all member states.
The level of trade between Iran and its potential 25-year all-round partner China is that Iran-China bilateral trade witnessed an increase of 19% in the first 8 months of this year, hitting over $11 billion. Iran's exports to China in the first 8 months of 2022 increased by 14% compared to the same period last year and reached under $5 billion. Iran's imports from China between January and August of the current year also witnessed an increase of 24%, which brought imports up to over $6 billion. China exported $5 billion worth of goods to Iran between January and August of last year. In August, China exported $1.1 billion worth of goods to Iran and imported $476 million worth of goods from this country. China's exports to Iran have increased by 36% this month, but the country's imports from Iran have decreased by 33% compared to August of 2021. Although on such a grand scale, the importance of supervision over implementation and capital and income is paramount. A source in the Ministry of Roads announced that Iran is making efforts to launch a direct train from China to Iran, and the capacity for trade between member states will increase as transportation and transit grow.
When you are invited to the Shanghai Cooperation Organization and you accept the invitation, the role that you'll have in the SCO is not defined by other nations. It's your business. If the Islamic Republic has a well-planned strategy, it can find exactly what role it can play in this puzzle and use the potentials of the organization. We see China, Russia, and others do that. Central Asian countries are using this very well. Keep in mind that in all other international organizations, even the United Nations, they give you a seat. But what you do with that seat is entirely up to you. You can either do nothing and sit idle, or you can seek for new opportunities and use them.
Every two or few states may decide on their own bilateral or multilateral relations and agreements, but those are influenced by each state's relations with third parties. And in a club, each member can have an impact on ambiance and affairs ongoing. One of the decisions reached at the recent Samarkand-Uzbekistan summit was to begin the process of including Bahrain, the Maldives, the UAE, Kuwait, and Myanmar as new dialogue partners. Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt signed MOUs and were granted the status of SCO dialogue partners. It would seem the East is setting up a front before and against the West, but our analysts say not. Would you say the Shanghai Cooperation has created a front before Western alliances?
The Islamic Republic of Iran, according to its own principles, is not seeking to participate a certain bloc or oppose another. Even in the context of our look East and Asia-oriented policy, especially in the era of the new administration, the 13th administration, their approach is not creating a conflict or joining an axis to oppose another. It's seeking balanced relations in the sense that it will use all the existing capacities and opportunities in order to realize and protect the interests of the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially in terms of economy.
The SCO, a regional forum promoting regionalism and a win-win opportunity for Eurasian members, was launched to combat the three evils: terrorism, separatism, and extremism. After signing a multidimensional 25-year strategic treaty with China and preparing to make a similar deal with Russia in the near term, Iran's accession to the SCO could be seen as the third decisive move in this country's deep inclination towards the East.
The presence of China as the founder of the Belt and Road Initiative and the presence of Iran that created the North-South Corridor and the fact that member states can access them can make their roles much more significant. Central Asian countries, and especially India, can utilize this and connect to the Indian Ocean from Iran to St. Petersburg and then Europe. Central Asian countries can utilize the North-South Corridor, which can be impactful in the SCO.
The Belt and Road, as it is called, isn't in essence about the road. We know what a road does. It connects point A to point B. But in the SCO, we don't talk about roads. It is more like a corridor. I mean, in a corridor, in addition to connecting point A to point B, there are events that take place in the distance between these points. What I mean is that the distance between A and B will experience development.
Just one thing. I wondered how far the security alliance, the SCO, would go to help us in dealing with security problems occasionally arising. Would it be profit or potential help? because any benefits from deals and clubs can only follow security and stability.
Why don't you scrub out propagandist rumors for us? I think going by honesty is the best policy. The real picture should be a better picture of the Shanghai Cooperation.
There is a concept called the spirit of the SCO, on which the Chinese and Russians insist. They must be carefully studied by other countries as well. When we study the spirit of the SCO, we see the issue of convergence and multilateralism is insisted upon. It's interesting to know that a motto of the SCO, which must be focused on in Iran, is non-aligned participation and cooperation. It's very important because we need to be realistic when we consider membership in the SCO. We can't say it'll solve everything like a fantasy. The principle of non-alignment convergence. What is that? It's the same as the Organization of Non-Aligned Nations. They said we are allies and we have converged, but there are no alignments with other countries. We should know that, for example, if we are members of the SCO and a war takes place in a member state, none of the member states are obliged to give military aid to that state. This is non-aligned convergence, as we see Russia is at war, but none of the Shanghai member states have an obligation to go and help Russia. This is the difference between SCO and NATO.
That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Bye for now.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Karim, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Salaam alaikum, Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider. How are you?
Fine, sir. How
fine,
are
inshallah?
You?
Yes. Okay, that's great. Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And Fawad Haider?
Fine.
Okay, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for joining us today. In this session, again, we have our brothers from Sevier International School. So we are going to, inshallah, hold another Quranic session for you. Okay, Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, and Fawad Haider. Today, inshallah, again, we're going to work on the next ayah, the next verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 20. And I really recommend our brothers and sisters stay with us. And before we start, let's listen to this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yakadu al-barqu yakhtafu absarahum kullama adaa'a lahum mashaw fi كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير.
Okay, alhamdulillah, we'll listen to this ayah. Now we will be reciting this ayah by our own, okay?
Yes,
ready?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم
يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم ولو شاء الله لذهب بسمعهم وأبصارهم إن الله على كل شيء قدير إن الله على كل شيء قدير
أحسنتم ما شاء الله ما شاء الله. So in this ayah, the same as the previous verses of the Quran Kareem in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Almighty is exemplifying, okay, those hypocrites, okay, the people who really are two-faced people. All right. In this ayah, Allah Almighty says, the lightning, يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ The lightning almost snatches away their sight. Yes?
Yes.
And whenever it shines for them, they walk in it. And when the darkness falls upon them, they stand. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ Translates to, He would have taken away their hearing and their sight. Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. Indeed, Allah Almighty has power over all things. What I want to tell you from this ayah is this, that first and foremost, I tell myself and then to you, and that is really we have to understand this, that everything is in Allah Almighty's will, and whatever Allah Almighty wills, that happens. Okay.
Yes.
Look, we have free will, okay? This is correct. And whatever we will, okay, it happens, okay? Allah Almighty has given us free will, so whatever we do, it happens. If you go the right path, you go. It happens. If you go the wrong path, you go. It happens, okay? But we have to remember that every single minute, every single moment that we live, we are being blessed by Allah Almighty, okay? And if we are like, if Allah Almighty stops blessing us or stops the showering His blessings upon us, okay, we are nothing. We're just gone. Suppose you are having like holding a cup, okay, or a mug in your hand, okay, and it's full of water, for example. Unless you hold, unless you drop it, okay, it will not break, yes? But in a single moment, if you fall asleep, if you fall asleep and it falls down, yes, it will break. Why? Because the one who was holding fall asleep or didn't hold it anymore. So if Allah Almighty, we are the same as that glass, okay, that cup. If Allah Almighty stops blessing us, we'll just drop down and we are finished. We are done. Okay? So we should be very much careful that Allah Almighty has power over everything and He can do whatever He wants. He has the power, okay, but He, at the same time, He has given us free will. So we have to remember in our life that whatever we have, if each and every single breath that we breathe out, okay, it's because of Allah Almighty.
Yes.
All right?
Yes, exactly.
So one of the names of Allah Almighty is Fayyab. Fayyab means He is blessing. He is, His blessings is just continuing, okay? He doesn't stop. Yeah? So, whenever the torches or the lightning, okay, when the lightning happens, so whenever the lightning is, everywhere is like clear and everything is clear, shiny, okay, we can see. So we walk. Whenever the darkness comes, okay, nobody moves. Everyone is like calm, okay? It's as if like whenever the guidance of Allah Almighty is there, we are going. But whenever the guidance is not there, it is as if we can never move. So remember this sentence, that we are always being blessed by Allah Almighty. Okay?
Yes.
So the It's a short explanation, okay? It's not the exact interpretation or translation, but we have hardly worked, okay, to have this translation for you. But I really recommend you to look back in the Tafasir book for more explanation and precise ones, okay?
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Now brothers, we have to work on tajweed rules. Yes, Ali Nasir, the first thing. يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم. Do you think anything is new in here? Any tajweed rule is new here that we have to practice? يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم.
The pronunciation of letter ta.
Ta يخطف. The letter خا as well. يخطف.
Yeah. Also خا.
صاد أبصارهم.
Also صاد.
أحسن. But there is a همسة الوصل يكاد البرق. Skip it. And the next one. Bar ra, the letter ra must be heavily pronounced because it's a fatha sound before. Baruq yakhtafu absarahum. Absarahum, it has to be bounced. Absarahum, that's it.
Yeah.
And here, look, we have sali or sala. We have sad lam ya. This is a sign of stopping.
Yeah.
But what does it mean? It means
you can stop.
You can stop.
Better to continue.
Better to continue. Salah, yes. Remember, Salah with the word wasl. Remember these two words. They are kind of the same. So Salah means it's better to wasl, to connect. Okay? But we have another one opposite to this, which is qala or qali. Opposite to this. Yes. So cut. It says that it's better to
cut.
Stop. Stop. Waqf. Remember the word waqf with qali and wasl with sali.
What about jim?
Jim, it's jais. It's you're allowed, permissible. You want to stop? You want to go?
No difference. Completely
no difference. Okay.
Like jais munfasil.
Yeah, jais munfasil. Jais munfasil. Okay. يكاد البرق يخطف أبصارهم كلما أضاء لهم كلما ألف مد plus حمزة. We have a mad on the top of ألف. Jais
munfasil
because they are in separate words. كلما أضاء لهم, but not أضاء, it is واجب متصل.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
كلما أضاء لهم, لهم ميم ساكن plus ميم.
إدغام مثلين.
إدغام مثلين, the identical letters, okay, being merged together. إدغام مثلين. كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه
with غنة.
Yeah. أضاء لهم مشوا فيه. Yeah, with غنة. وإذا أظلم جائز منفصل. The letter حمزة and also مد are in different words. عليهم قام أظلم. Wait, أظلم pronunciation is it's a heavy letter. أظلم.
Yeah.
أظلم. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا قَامُوا not قَامُوا
heavy.
وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. If you stop قَامُوا, the natural mat will be changed to
عَرَضْ
لِسِكُونَ. Ali Nasir has learned this very well. Yes?
Yes.
قَامُوا. So the next part says وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, and if Allah Almighty wills, okay, if Allah Almighty willed, وَلَوْ شَاءَ, شَاءَ, واجب, متصل, the mad is, yes?
Yes.
حمزة and Aleph, حرف المد, both are in the same word.
Yes.
وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ not absasano absarihim inna allah inna always you have idgham mithlain. It is idgham, yes. Idgham mithlain. It is idgham, idgham mithlain, yes. You have to kind of produce a nasal sound or a ghunna sound. Inna Allaha. And make sure the pronunciation of the word Allah, because there is a fatha sound before, it has to be heavily pronounced, the lam.
Yeah.
Inna Allaha. While the letter lam itself is a line letter, okay? But when it comes with the letter, with the word Allah or Allahumma, it has to be heavily pronounced if there is a fatha sound before. If it is a kasra sound before, lightly.
Yes.
Illa. If it is a dhamma, heavily. Allah. Allah, Allah, illa. Inna Allaha ala kulli shay'in qadir. In tanween plus qaf. Ali Nasir and Hussein. Fawad, what rule is applied? Tanween plus qaf. Rest of the letters.
Yes.
Ikhfa.
Kulli shay'in
qadir.
Ikhfa. Kulli shay'in. And it's a heavy letter also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kulli shay'in qadir. Okay. Thank you so much.
For with heavy letters.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, all the rules of this surah. Now we will listen to this surah, this ayah, okay? And inshallah we'll finish.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yakadu al-barqu yakhtafu absarahum. Kullama adaa'a lahum mashaw fiih. Kullama adaa'a lahum mashaw fiih. Wa idha aghlama 'alayhim qamu. Walau syaa'a Allahu ladhaaba bisam'ihim wa absarihim. Inna Allaha 'ala kulli shay'in.
Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished this ayah as well. Thanks for the nice recitation. And see you inshallah in the next session. I really recommend you stay with us and work on, okay? Ali Nasir, Hussein, and Fawad, work on the Tajweed rules, okay? On this ayah as well. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.